Also today, we launched the start of our segment, Great Lakes Month in Review. We'll take time each month to recap environmental news from around the Great Lakes Basin with Chicago-based journalist and commentator Gary Wilson. Gary, glad to have you back.
Hey, Mark. Good morning. Always good to be with you and the people in mid-Michigan. And before we get started, great segment on the Rouge. That's my old stomping grounds.
Oh, you're familiar with the Rouge then.
Right, grew up just a mile or two from the Detroit River and familiar with the Rouge and the Detroit River, and glad to see you guys giving it some due.
Great. Well, you and I spoke recently about Great Lakes Week and the conference that was associated with Great Lakes Week. Let's start there. In retrospect, what were some of the bigger takeaways from the conference?
Well, Mark, there were really two, and I've got a third one, something I call beneath the radar, but the two big takeaways were, first, regarding algae blooms in Lake Erie. The International Joint Commission, that's the U.S.-Canada agency that advises the two governments on not only Great Lakes issues, but all transporter water issues. They came out with their report called the Lake Erie Ecosystem Priority Report that provides a recommended remedy for the algae blooms, primarily in Lake Erie, because this report was born out of the terrible blooms that occurred in 2011, record algae blooms. But a lot of the information applies to, you know, the whole Great Lakes Basin. And this report was long anticipated. And one of the big takeaways for me was how the commission, which is really a diplomatic agency, it's housed in the State Departments of both governments, they used, you know, pretty much unvarnished language in their recommendation. That's a little bit uncharacteristic. Like I said, being a diplomatic agency, they tend to use softer language because they don't want to offend people. But they really came right out and they used quite direct language. And I happened to be talking to one of the commissioners in Milwaukee, and I commented on that. And she told me that the report went through a number of drafts, and at each level, they tightened it up and strengthened the language quite a bit. So I see this as a good thing.
Does that then reflect a growing consensus that algae blooms are a bigger problem and need to be addressed more vigorously?
Absolutely. Algae blooms are a very serious problem, not only in the Great Lakes, but other areas around the country. And this, like I said, this 2011 event really got people's attention. And I know Lana Pollock, who is the U.S. chair for the Joint Commission, she personally took an interest in it. And she's been at the IJC for about 3 years now, and I think that, and she's known very well in Michigan, and she's known to not hold back in her language a little bit, professional but direct. I thought she got a little bit of a slow start with the IJC, but I can see her signature over these recommendations. They're sort of no holds barred.
Did the commission make particular recommendations then? Can you go any deeper with us on that?
Sure, Mark. I'd love to. They recommend banning fertilizer, and this is almost all applies to farmers, banning fertilizer on frozen ground. It's long been a practice to apply fertilizer to frozen ground, but the net is most of it runs off. So that was one of their number one priorities.
Hmm.
They also recommend the increase use of regulations. There's that word that nobody likes, regulations. Versus voluntary measures. In recent years, voluntary measures have been the watchword, encouraging farmers to kind of monitor themselves and use best practices. Nice stuff, but it's not working. And then they had a very specific recommendation regarding the amount of phosphorus that should be permitted to run off from the Maumee River. That's about 40% and 70% to be reduced by 70% in certain higher areas. Those are big numbers, but that's sort of a departure, setting specific targets. There were a few other things that were kind of, one of them was tied to the farm bill that's, you know, deadlocked in Congress now. So we're not sure what will happen there.
What happens to the recommendations, though? Who will see these recommendations?
The recommendations will go to the two government agencies in the U.S. It's the U.S. EPA and in Canada, it's the counterpart, Environment Canada, but also to state agencies. And then it's up to them to take it from there. The IJC, while they can prescribe strong medicine, they are an advisory agency, and it's up to the rest of us to take it from there. So we'll see what happens.
I believe Waukesha was also on the agenda at the Great Lakes Week Conference. What finally was resolved with regard to Waukesha, Wisconsin?
No resolution, Mark. They're on the city is on the cusp of submitting its proposal to its state DNR, its final proposal. The big news to come out of the Great Lakes Week Conference related to Waukesha was the city made a presentation to the governors from around the region, sort of a preview of what they might expect, and they reduced the amount of water that they're going to be asking for by close to 1 million gallons. From right around 11 million gallons to down to about 10 million gallons.
And for our listeners, who missed this segment before, we should point out that Waukesha is low on water, and it is made overtures to try to retrieve water for its use, for its municipal use, from the Great Lakes, even though the city lay outside the Great Lakes Basin. We need to provide a little bit of context for the people who missed those previous segments. But continue, please.
Yeah, Mark, that's good. Thank you. I talked to a number of people, during the conference, and they didn't see this as a terribly big event, requesting less water. It's Waukesha was there on a selling mission. That's what they need to do. They need to get the approval of the other states. So it was a way to make their proposal just a little bit more palatable. And I think they were making I attended the session. I think they were making a sort of a special appeal to Michigan, if I could detect that. Historically, Michigan has been the toughest reviewer of diversion requests, and former Governor Engler was the only governor ever to disapprove a diversion request under the previous agreement. So a big sales job there by Waukesha, and that'll be set in motion pretty soon.
And I understand hydraulic fracturing or fracking also was a topic at the conference. How did that discussion play out?
Well, I think it's one of the under-the-radar topics, Mark. I had two veteran policy people from Michigan approach me, and they talked about, geez, you guys are covering Waukesha, rightly so, quite a bit, but what about the taking of water via fracking in Michigan? That's been a kind of a beneath the radar, and they both pointed out to the proposal in northern Michigan to take 4 billion gallons of water for fracking. And the point that they're making, and I think it's a good one, is that Waukesha's request, they with 10 million gallons a day, they will return about 98% of that to Lake Michigan as treated wastewater. Their point was, with fracking, the 4 billion gallons that comes out of the ground will not be returned. It's out of the streams. It will not be returned. And that's enough water to supply Waukesha for about 440 days, and none of it gets returned to the system. That's their concern, and they also express concern about Michigan's water withdrawal assessment tool, whether it can do a good job in actually handling fracking.
Okay.
So more to play out there.
Gary Wilson is a Chicago-based Great Lakes commentator and journalist. You can find more of Gary Wilson's thoughts on the basin at greatlakesecho.org. Gary, thank you for joining us.
Always good to be with you, Mark. Thank you.